Good morning, folks. My name is Brad Snow. I'm here under the authority of my church, Kendrick Community Church in Anaheim Hills. I'm here with several of my brothers who are also out here to share the gospel. So we hope that you'll see one of us here out in gospel tracks and engage one of us to talk about these things. Our hope and desire is that that you would consider for a moment where you stand with God. We're not here to convince you that there is a God, because it'd be futile to convince you of something you already know. Many of us deny that truth so we can continue to live the way that we want to live, rather than submit ourselves to the God of all creation who gave us life and breath. Because the way that you and I want to live is often in contrary to the way God commands us to live. And even if we were from this point on to live rightly with God and to change our ways, it wouldn't be enough, because you and I are already guilty of having offended and broken God's law. Many of us, take pride in the way that we live and the way that we think, and we think of ourselves as pretty good based on the fact that we compare ourselves to one another. And we see the people, the way they live, and, you know, those who commit crimes. You know, we saw Christopher Dorner, who committed the act of murder against a couple civilians and a couple of law enforcement officers. And we compare ourselves to men like that, and we say, by comparison to those men, we look pretty good. And because I'm not as bad as they are, God will have favor on my life. He'll smile at the way I live and the way I thought. I gave God his due praise. I prayed to him. I did all these things with him in mind. But if you're depending on your own goodness as the basis by which God will grant you his reward of heaven, then your faith is pointed in the wrong direction, because your faith is pointed towards yourself and your ability. And the problem is that you and I are already guilty of breaking God's law. And God, being the eternal judge, the one who will make sure that all crimes, not just the ones that we know about, but even the ones that we have done, and even the ones we don't remember doing, God will judge on that day. That day that we stand before him, the day that we breathe our last and we die, is called the day of judgment. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And on that day, God will reveal all that we have done. Every single thing, our very thought life, will be the evidence of our guilt. Now, if you examine your own heart, your own mind, and you're honest about it, can you honestly say that you have been perfect in every action, in every word you've ever uttered, in the secret places of your mind? Has your thoughts been perfect and pure in intention and in what you envision? Because if you can say that, then you would be able to stand before God as innocent. But the problem is that when we stand before God, God will reveal all that we have said, done, and thought. And it'll be the evidence of our guilt. Because even if we're just guilty of one crime, one crime against him, we will receive the just punishment that God has ascribed for that crime, which is an eternal punishment. A place of fire and brimstone, where the worm does not die, where there's gnashing of teeth and utter darkness. This is a horrible description of a real place. And it's the fate of those who do not have the forgiveness of God. And so this is what compels us to come out here. This is what drives us to come out here to plead with you. We don't in any kind of way think ourselves better than you in any kind of way. It's that we don't want you to perish. We don't want you to die in your sins, stand before God, and not be ready. Because many who depend on themselves, who depend on another way, because be certain of this, there are many who will deceive us to go the wrong way. There is more deception than there is truth, because truth by its very nature is singular. It's one direction. And yet there are many ways that point to the wrong direction. And so we come out here to point to the one direction so that you wouldn't be deceived, that you wouldn't believe something that wasn't true, but you'd be ready with the truth when you stand before God. So let's examine ourselves soberly, honestly. You don't have to admit anything to me, just quietly to yourself. See where you stand with God according to his standard. So let's begin with one of God's laws, one that you agree with. Law of God says you shall not lie. Now, experientially, we know that lying is an offense, because when someone lies to us, deceives us, we're offended. And God is no different. God only has a higher regard for that than we do. And his response to those who have lied, who offended him because of their lies, he said that all liars will have their part in a lake of fire. That's how God regards the sin of lying. He says that the punishment is worthy, or that the requirement of the law is worthy of a lake of fire. And be honest with yourself, how many times in your entire life have you lied? I would imagine it's not unlike myself, you've lost count. And when we lie against God, when we break His law, we store up for ourselves wrath upon wrath. Because anyone who commits multiple crimes, the requirement of the law only increases. The penalty increases based on the number of times that we've offended God. And we have lied to Him countless times. We have lied to our brother, and we have lied to Him, and we've offended our Creator. And this is true and just, and I tell you this because it's right. It's right for God to be offended when we lie, when we break His law. Now, you already know it's wrong to lie, and the reason you know it's wrong to lie is because God has written His law on your heart. So you wouldn't be ignorant of it. Because you know instinctually, from the moment you can reason, that it's wrong to lie. The law says you shall not steal. And we know on our heart that it's wrong to steal. When someone takes something that belongs to you, you're offended. That's because your sense of justice says it's wrong. And God's standard is all the more higher in that regard. Because when we take what doesn't belong to us, God sees us as a thief. And through God's word, it says that no thief has eternal life, abides in them. So just by two of those laws, we can see that we're a liar and a thief. And when we continue to go through the list of God's law, the same law that's written on our heart, we only see that we're all the more guilty. Because the law says, you shall not commit adultery. Now, many of us, we're not married, or we've not had sex yet. Adultery is when you have sex with someone who's not your spouse, not your wife, not your husband. But Jesus said, He said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after them has committed adultery already within their heart. Let me just help you understand what Jesus is trying to say in that. He said, you know that it's wrong to commit adultery, to have sex with someone who's not your wife or husband. But I say, whoever looks at another person and has sexual desires for them, playing out in your mind, you're already guilty of breaking that law, even if you didn't break it in action. You see, God will examine the very intentions of our heart. Our thought life will be played out as the evidence of our guilt when we compare it to God's law. You see, the standard goes beyond our words and our action. It goes to the very intentions of our heart. The law says you should not commit adultery. Some of us think we're okay now. I've never killed anyone. I've never shed innocent blood. But Jesus said, whoever hates somebody, God sees as a murderer. And God says that no murderer has eternal life abiding within him. And so I paint this picture, what would seem hopeless, only that you would see it be hopeless to be in your power to be made right with God. See, you can't get right with God through a man-made religion. You can't get right with God in your ability to obey. But the only way that God is ascribed for us to be right with Him is through the one way that He has made for us to be forgiven, and that is through Jesus Christ. You see, it says that the way to destruction is wide, and many go that way, and that's true. Many are deceived. But the way to eternal life is narrow, and it's so narrow that it's through the one man, Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ is not a creation of man. He's not reimagined by any one of us. See, people will deceive you by creating another Jesus, one that is more palatable to you, rather than for you to face the one true Jesus who requires us to surrender all for forgiveness. And so I want to tell you about the one true Jesus so that you can compare to the ways that Jesus is misrepresented it, and you would understand who that what Jesus is that you must depend on for your forgiveness. And I hope that you're desperate to be forgiven. I hope that you see your need to be forgiven so that Christ becomes the one way for you to have hope of forgiveness. And it is. It is the only hope. There is no other hope. Jesus Christ was born 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin. Jesus Christ was perfect in thought, word, and deed because he was fully God and fully man and without sin. And Jesus Christ led the life that you and I failed to live. Jesus Christ was perfect for 33 years of life, and you and I have failed to be perfect for even 33 seconds of our life. Jesus Christ took upon himself the sin of sinful men. He was taken as guilty at the hands of sinful men, evil men. And he paid the penalty for a crime he did not commit. Jesus Christ bore that sin as his own, and he was nailed to a Roman cross, having been beaten and bruised and bled. And he hung on that cross the moment before his death. He cried out, "It is finished." And what he meant by that is he had done what was required for forgiveness to be given to those that he came to forgive. And that when he died on that cross, the good news is this, is that Jesus Christ 3 days later rose from the dead, defeating death. And because he rose from the grave, he gives us the ability to be forgiven and the hope of eternal life, because death was defeated on the cross. And life is what you and I need, eternal life with our Creator. And Jesus Christ is that life. In fact, he says as much. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Creator, the Father, except through him." You see, Jesus Christ is the one who makes himself exclusive. I know we have this idea that if we accept all these other ways, that we can live in harmony. But all the other ways are a deception. What harmony does truth have with a lie? There is no harmony between a truth and a lie. And so there isn't this coexist idea. It does not work with truth. Truth doesn't coexist with a lie. And Jesus Christ is the one who made himself exclusive. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so no man will get to the Father except through Jesus Christ and him alone. And we plead with you. I have to be honest with you in this regard. I am unworthy to deliver this message. And I care very much what happens to every one of you. I don't even know you, but I don't want anyone to perish in their sins. As much as I want my own life to be spared what I deserve, I too would have you be spared what you deserve. Because I guarantee many of you are far greater than I am. And yet there are those who have done far less than I have that will receive the just punishment of hell. So my desire is that you would be forgiven of all your sins, all your lies, all your times of committing adultery in the heart or in action. I would have you be forgiven of all the times you took what didn't belong to you. That you'd be forgiven of every time you've hated someone and committed murder in your heart. I would have you be forgiven of all these things if it was within my time. But Christ made himself exclusive and made the only way for us to be forgiven through Jesus Christ and him alone. And God, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. God will not let the mocker go unpunished. So don't live your life in opposition to God and think that somehow you'll stand before God and you'll plead your case then. It's too late by then. Well, God has given you life and breath. You have the opportunity to be forgiven of all your sins, that you would not perish in your sin, but you would have the hope of eternal life to those that repent of their sin and believe. And I would have you consider these things now while you have life and breath. And God has given you this good gift. This is how we know God is good. But be certain of this. God is good is not just a hope, but it is also three words of terror. Because the fact that God is good should terrify those that are not. And that's what you and I are. We're not good. God is good and perfect in thought, word, and deed. And he is the very standard by which you and I will be measured. And none of us compare to the perfection of God, not even close. In fact, if you and I, as we are in our sinful state, were to come into the presence of a perfect holy God whose light shines upon us, we would but perish under that. We would be ground to powder, and we would at that moment in time receive the just punishment for our crimes. Because you're not going to stand before God and point a finger at God and say, I didn't do this, because you didn't tell me. You're not going to stand before God and say, I committed all these crimes, and you didn't tell me. See, you already know that God exists, and you already know that He's perfect. God has written His law in your heart to know what that standard is. No, we won't stand accusing the God. We will be too busy on our face, begging and pleading for mercy. But no mercy is to be found for those that have not been forgiven of their sins. Only justice is to be found. That justice that God pours out in His very being, that makes sure that all things that have been wrong will be made right and satisfied. So are you guilty? I mean, when you examine your life and the things you've said and done, can you say that you've not broken God's law? See, you're not having to, you know, appeal to me. I'm more guilty than you. You have to stand before God. So, in your honesty towards God, who sees your heart, who knows your very thought life, be honest to Him. Are you guilty? Do you need God's forgiveness? Are you desperate to be forgiven? Because the man who's desperate to be rescued will cling to the hope that he can be saved. And the one who's desperate to be rescued, when given a life preserver, will cling to it for his very life. And so I'm telling you about the cross of Jesus Christ, so that you will cling to it for your very life, because it's the only life preserver that's coming. It's the only hope you have to be rescued from your sin, to be given what you don't deserve, which is the forgiveness of all your sins, the ones you've even forgotten. And those will receive justice, whether you remember them or not. See, just because you can put the past behind you and disregard it as it hasn't ever happened, doesn't mean that justice is not coming for those crimes. Justice is coming for the crimes you committed since the day you were born to the day you died. And we have built up a reputation, a list of crimes that is innumerable. Even in this very day, we can lose count of the times we've offended God. And it's not because God is cruel, it's because God is good, because He's just. And you desire justice to be served, just like He does, maybe not at the same level. Because when you hear of injustice that takes place on the news, the first thing that comes to your mind is, I hope they find the guy who's guilty, and he receives a just punishment for his crimes. The more heinous the crime, the more I desire for justice to be served. The problem is now, when we examine ourselves according to law, we find all of a sudden that we're the guilty person, that we're the one who justice should serve. And it doesn't matter how much you value that law or how much you think that law is worthy of punishment. It's the fact that God has a standard far above you and me. And that standard demands justice, despite how we feel about that law. And He said that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief or murder has eternal life abiding in them. And the list goes on and on, only to just make more of us guilty of more crimes. And I tell you all this, not to put myself in a place above you. I tell you this so you would see yourself the way God sees you and me. And that you would be desperate for His forgiveness. And that you would cling to the one way that God has made for us to be forgiven. That's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I can tell you this. Everyone who's tried to create this false impression that God has made multiple ways to him, that's ridiculous. Why would God create multiple ways when deception has already done that? And how would you know the difference between a lie and a deceit if only because the truth is singular? That's how you know it's true, because it's like nothing else. Jesus Christ is the one way, the truth, and the life. And the only way we can be forgiven is by repentance and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And you know this is true. It bears come against it so that you would be deceived and not surrender to the truth. I would rather that you would fall to your knees and cry out for mercy, the one who offers mercy this day. Because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be made right with your Creator if you would but repent and believe. So let today be the day that you see your need to be forgiven of all your sin. The sin that even escapes your own memory. And be made right with your Creator, the one who offers forgiveness through Jesus Christ and Him alone. So we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled with God. Because He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. That we might become the righteousness of God that was in Him. Because He's appointed a day when He will judge the world in righteousness by the one whom He has ordained. And He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. You see, Jesus Christ will either be your Savior, the one who forgives you all your sins, or on the day you die, He will be your judge, and He will judge you for all your crimes, and you will receive the justice you and I deserve. But why receive the justice when God has made a way to be forgiven? It's through Christ alone. Let today be the day that you know what it is to be forgiven of all your sins and receive what you don't deserve, which is God's mercy and grace. Be a trophy of God's grace rather than a vessel of His justice. Because on that day, God will separate the true from the false. There are two groups that God judges. There'll be those who will be. God will invite into His eternity to say, "Welcome into your rest, my good and faithful servant. Receive your reward that was given to you before the foundation of the world." Or, and I hope this is not you, or you will hear, "Depart from me, you who are lawless. Enter into everlasting fire, prepared for the demons and the devil." Don't be that person. Be the one who hears, "Welcome into your rest, my good and faithful servant. Repent of your sins today. Trust the gospel, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to those that repent and believe." I would have every one of you to know the truth, and that's why we come to tell you today. Not that you would perish, but that you would be forgiven of all your sins, your lies, your theft, your murder, all of it. Because there is no sin that you've committed that is beyond the grace of God. Where sin abounds, grace therefore abounds. And the grace of God abounds to those that repent of their sin and trust the Savior. Repentance means to turn from your sin, to turn away from those things that offend God, that are considered a crime against Him. The reason we know they're crimes is because they're against the very character of who God is. You see, we know it's wrong to lie because God is perfectly honest. You see, we know that it's wrong to steal because God is not a thief. We know that it's wrong to commit adultery because God is perfectly faithful. And you and I are not. We have broken these laws and we deserve the justice it requires. And justice and mercy will be given to those that repent and believe. You see, the cross is described as the place where mercy and justice meet. Where Jesus Christ satisfies the justice of your sin required. And He gives you the mercy that you do not have because you need to have all your sins forgiven. And none of us deserve it. We are unworthy of it. We deserve His justice. And God provides a way for us to be forgiven through Christ and Him alone. So examine your heart. Do you see yourself as having been one to offend God by the very life you led, the very thought life that plays out in your head? You see, the tensions of your heart will be weighed. Are you good? Because God is. Are you perfect? Because God is. And the standard by which that we will be measured is by the standard of God Himself. Jesus Christ will be the standard by which you and I will be measured. I think we've taken too much comfort by comparing ourselves to each other. We look even into the history of man and see those who committed great crimes. Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini. and we've seen their lives and how great their sin is, and we think, take comfort in that, saying that I am not as bad as them. The problem is you've looked at the wrong people by the comparison that you need to make. It's not by the most evil men that ever lived that you'll be judged. It'll be by the most righteous man, and that man is Jesus Christ, who is fully God and fully man without sin. And that's what we need to be. Unfortunately, we're not. Yet God has made a way for us to be forgiven of our sin through one way and one way alone, through Jesus Christ, through his shed blood on the cross. The fact that he defeated death by raising from the grave and is alive today. And there is no prophet who's defeated death that your forgiveness will be bought and paid for. The only person who has ever done this is Jesus Christ and him alone. So it is him you must surrender to. You will not find that through any other religion or any other faith or any other prophet. It is through Jesus Christ and him alone. The Pope cannot absolve you of your sins. Only Jesus Christ. Muhammad cannot forgive you of your sins. Only Jesus Christ. Gandhi cannot forgive you. You cannot receive forgiveness by trying to put the past behind you and forget what you've ever done. You cannot be forgiven by yourself. The only forgiveness that we have is through Jesus Christ and him alone. And so we plead with you and beg for you to turn to Christ and live. The only hope provided by God. Because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no hope in any other except through Jesus Christ and him alone. So repent of your sins and put your trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The person of Christ, fully God, fully man. The work of Christ, defeating death, having lived a perfect life, and being raised from the grave. This is where your faith should lie. This is where your forgiveness is bought and paid for. So turn from your sin and trust the Savior and receive what you don't deserve, eternal life, the hope of being eternally with your Creator. Otherwise, the only hope you have is to be receive the justice you deserve, which is in a lake of fire that burns forever and ever and ever and ever. Turn to Christ and live. Our friends are here with us. We're here to talk about these things. We hope you care about what happens to you, because we do. And we would have you come and talk to us about these things. You can come to even disagree, but we would at least have you consider these things so that we could share with you what God has done to save us from our sin and what God has done to forgive sinners such as you. God bless you guys.